This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, today's the last day we will have a chance to register to win tickets to tomorrow night's game between Michigan State and Wisconsin. Give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. We'll give the tickets away at the end of today's show. And also, if you want tickets to go to the hockey game this weekend, we've got tickets to give away for Friday and Saturday's hockey game. Call that number, 353-5000, area code 517. Well, now let's talk some sports with our good friend down in Detroit, Perry Farrell from the Detroit Free Press. Perry, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, there, Earl of Pearl? You all right?
Yeah, hanging in there, my man. And I saw in today that I know you cover everything. You're the jack of all trades there with the Free Press.
That's what we're gonna have enough reporters.
Well, I know you weren't at the Wings last night, but you were also writing about the Pistons today, and when you look at that team, when you look at this Pistons team, what do you see for them? I mean, it just doesn't look like they're going to be able to get it together. They had that four-game winning streak, sort of caught me off guard. I thought they were starting to turn it around, but then they went back to being the Pistons again.
They need Anthony Davis. I think I would lose every game just to be able to get that guy. So, but you don't tell your players that.
Right.
They're not big enough. In spots, they're not athletic enough. It's just a matter of they need more talent, Earl. They just don't have enough firepower. Once they get to 80, they get stuck on 80 as far as offensively, and then they give up a lot of bad baskets with layups and stuff. So they got a lot of work to do.
Yes, they do. And I know that it's a tough spot for the coach to come in with the shortened season, and he's got to try to correct everything and, do things, basically on the road and everything. And so it's really a tough job that he's gotten himself into, Lawrence Frank.
Yeah, because you had no training camp. They had like 7 days, and they were playing a regular season. So you figure the first 7-8 games of the regular season were like training camp games. So with a new staff and a new system, it takes time. Not making any excuses for them, but they just were behind the eight ball early because they didn't have a full month to prepare for the season, and now you see they don't have enough talent, and then plus his system, it's going to take time.
It will, and that's the thing with basketball, and this being such a shortened season, you don't have 2 weeks of training camp, and then you just, it's right, we got to play right now. I mean, it's really a tough spot for all the new coaches, that even if you got talent like the coach out in L.A., the Lakers has, still that's a tough spot to throw him in because the Lakers were doing that one system all, for the last 12 or 13 years, and now they have to input, learn a whole new system in a couple of weeks. So it's tough for coaches like that this year.
Yeah, because you figure Kobe's been trying to go offense for like most of his career, and now to go to something different. You got new personnel, new coaching staff, which includes John Kuster, who coached the Pistons last year. So it takes a lot of time to get that going. And even the Lakers are struggling, and especially on the road. So it takes time when you have a new system and new players. And the quality of basketball has really been bad, Earl. Other than Miami, Oklahoma City, Dallas is starting to play better now. But the quality of play, you've seen a lot of games in the 70s, and that means a lot of bad offense.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let's switch over to college. Oakland University has been a pretty good team over the years. Now they're like 13-13 now, so they're sort of struggling a little bit, but they still have seems like they have a lot of good players there. We know they've got a couple of good players from Lansing area. What have you seen from Oakland University?
I saw them beat Tennessee. Reggie Hamilton's a really good player. Might get a look, in the draft. Mm-hmm. He might not get drafted, but he'll probably be in somebody's summer league team. So you're seeing a guy that left in Keith Benson, four-year starter, all-time leading scorer. So that, taking out the equation, they're an average team now. I mean, Keith Benson made them a better to great team in the Summit League. Now, with him gone, you're seeing that they don't have enough talent up front to compete in some cases. But like I said, Reggie Hamilton's a first-team all-Summit League player. But with that strength and inside play that Keith Benson had, that's what's missing. So you have an average team now.
Yeah. Now, what do you think when you looked at Michigan State? How do you see those teams? I know you follow them from time to time. How do you see with the Spartans and of course the Wolverines?
Great win for the Spartans Saturday at Ohio State, because I think they showed that there are different ways you can defend Jared Sullinger to make him ineffective. He had, like, what, 9-10 turnovers?
Mm-hmm.
I think Michigan, and this is something that is going to always be a subject. I've been told that Beilein doesn't really want the big, powerful inside guy who can score, so then you reduce yourself to a lot of jump shooters, which they are. It's a system that's unique as far as the Big Ten, but obviously being in second place in the conference has been working. But I don't know if that can necessarily win the conference title for them, but I know they got some great talent coming in next year, as is Michigan State. So I think it's good for both teams to be competitive. Now you have a rivalry again, with Michigan winning three of the last four. So it's great for both teams. As far as making a run, I could probably see Michigan State making a further run in the tournament than Michigan. But I think with this Mitch McGarry, you got Glenn Robinson III coming in. Michigan, if Tim Hardaway stays, could be a really great team next year.
Yes, and I've talked with Tom Izzo the other day about with Michigan State. They play that Wisconsin, which plays a different style. You know, their big men go out and shoot a lot. And I think the players are starting to get used to that style, even though they don't see it but a couple of times a year. But as you know, their big men shoot outside a lot, and their little guys go down and post up. It's a different style, and maybe if you see it a little bit more now, if they see it a little bit more often between Michigan and Wisconsin, they might even adjust to it even faster.
I agree, and the thing about Michigan State now, if Adrian Payne plays that way that he did Saturday against Ohio State, they could really be a force, because he's kind of coming on now. I thought he struggled for the last 2 or 3 months. Now he's starting to play better, so you can see with him in the front line with Draymond Green, who might be the Big Ten Player of the Year, that they can make him run.
Yes, everyone around here, of course, is thinking about Draymond Green, the Player of the Year, and he's going to be in the battle for it. And I look at Sullinger, who could be having even a better year, but he's been hurt so much, so I don't know how much you put into that with Sullinger being the Player of the Year, because he's been hurt so often. And I know Draymond's only missed one game, really hasn't missed a game. He's played just about every game, even hurt. So that'll be an interesting race, wouldn't it?
Well, being from Saturday, you know, I have to pull for Draymond. So. And seeing where he's come from. But I think he's really been a leader this year.
Yes.
And I think he's taking on the responsibility of getting that team ready to play. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yes, and that's the thing. I guess a lot of times, people like me and you, we don't really give as much credence to leadership as we should. And that's something that really does count a lot, especially when you have a young team like Michigan State has. It really is important to have a good leader on the court. You know, you get tired of hearing the coach yell all the time at you. So it's good to hear somebody else's voices. And when it comes from a player, as we know from over the years, the players who listen have a tendency to listen very very closely to another player.
If your leader is your hardest worker, then that makes it easier, because everybody else will follow suit.
Yeah, that's true. Now,
and he's shown that ability this year.
Yes, he has. I guess you could say he's had an interesting career. He's been to two Final Fours. Then the team lost their sway a little bit last year. They weren't as close as they had been in the past. And then now it's back to being it's a close team. It's a young team. I'm just surprised, Perry, that they've played so well all year long. I mean, they started out pretty good. And we all sort of were thinking, well, maybe they'll fall off a little bit. But no, they've really played well this year.
Well, you know what they did? They played two of the best teams in the country the first two games of the year. So it kind of gives you a teaching point. And then they play some teams, a big win in Gonzaga in front of Judd Heathcote. So, You know, and the only thing issue I have with Michigan State is that Keith Appling is not really a point guard. And I think you can see that he's been frustrated for most of the year from looking at his facial expressions, and Tom's been in his grill a lot. But, you know, he's adjusting to a position where he's used to getting the ball and scoring. Now he has to set everybody else up. And I think he's going through growing pains right now, but he'll probably be better this time next year. And the key to that then is Keith being able to run the offense, get the ball to Draymond and Adrian. And then Derek Nix has to play well because he's a big inside force when he comes off the bench.
And, you know, when you look at Keith Appling, I've said this for a lot of times. I mean, he's a guy, if he's going to play at the next level, he's got to learn how to play point and be a good point guard.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's good enough right now, Earl, to go to that next level. I mean, he's 6'1" and a half, maybe. He's not explosive as he was in high school because he's thinking more so than playing right now. So it's something that you have to rather adjust now and try to make that transition.
Sure.
Because I see some point guards in the league now, I'm saying, okay, Cardale Johnson, never heard of you. And there's some point guards that Walker Russell Jr., he's probably a better player, but he does what he's supposed to do in the right system. So if Keith can get into the right system, he can probably make a contribution at the next level. But right now, he's nowhere close to being ready.
Yeah. Hey, how about those Wings last night? Getting the record and setting a new record in the NHL for most home wins in a row. That's probably pretty special, isn't it?
21 in a row, and it's kind of interesting because the same night Ben Wallace played in his 1,055th game, the Wings win their 21st straight at home. There's a lot of good things happening in Detroit right now, and I know a lot of people are excited about the Wings, and can they win the Stanley Cup? They might have the best record, which gives them home ice throughout the playoffs, which is what you want to do. So they've been healthy. They played well. Jimmy Howard has been outstanding in net, and when he comes back, he makes that team even stronger. Joey McDonald's kind of held it down in goal recently. But with Jimmy Howard in there, with Holstrom and Lidstrom, and it's L-I-D, not L-I-N-D, they're a very, very good team, and they're going to have to be reckoned with in the playoffs.
Okay. Hey, Perry, we got a caller for you. One of your compatriots from Saginaw.
No.
We got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing? Hey, Perry, I know a lady that works up in the library. She works for the Saginaw Public Library. Her name is Rhonda.
That's my sister.
Okay, dear. Yeah, I go see her all the time. She always asks me, you ever look at it, your column and hear from them. So I'm glad to talk to you. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's my older sister.
Okay, dear. What I got to ask you is about the three Division One teams down in the Detroit area. I'm talking about University of Detroit, Oakland University, and Eastern Michigan, with Murphy being the coach. Do you see these teams, even though they little above 500 and sub 500, what is the future outlook for all three of them?
Well, the problem with UAD is that Eli Holland, during his suspension, they struggled, and it's his fault because he did something stupid. He punched a kid in the face. He got suspended. They clearly have the best talent in the Horizon League. Now, they've lost to Valparaiso twice, but they beat Butler twice. So I just see UAD making a run and winning the conference tournament. And if they do that, then they're automatically qualified. But with Chase Simon, Eli Holman, and Ray McCallum, they have as good a talent as anybody in the Horizon League. As for Murphy at Eastern, you know, it's going to take a while, some growing pains. They lost to Central last night, and Central lost 11 in a row. So it's going to take Murphy some time. And we just talked about Oakland. Losing Keith Benson was a major blow to the program. But, you know, the kid played 4 years and retired his number. It was time for him to move on. Now he's got to get another kind of impact player like that for them to go back to where they were before. I mean, Reggie Hamilton's a good player and has had a great season. But it's the inside strength that makes teams in that kind of conference stand out.
Well, I got a great question. Doug Anderson, that used to play up here at Mott Community College.
He's at UD now. He was terrible Sunday.
He was really terrible. I know he's athletic and everything. He can dunk the ball. Even he got on the Sports in the Top 10 plays. Do you think he's just a guy who's just super freaky athletic, but he's not skilled as, or he just can develop that kind of game?
No, he's a tremendous athlete, but Sunday, he just made some dumb passes. Levi passed it right to the Green Bay players, and Ray had to take him out because I don't even think he scored. I think he's basically being focused and staying mentally into the game. He has all the talent in the world, can jump out the gym, but he has to, okay, where do I want to go with my career? He's got one more year there. He'll be playing with Ray McCallum next year, and they'll have four of their five starters back. He's got to take it to a different level and become a force inside because athletically he's as good as anybody in the rising league.
All right, man. I'll tell your sister that. I'll talk to you, man.
Okay. Yes. Tell her what's going on, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Perry. It's always a pleasure talking with you. See we okay, get people Earl. Calling you from your hometown.
Hey, man, what can I tell you? You know, they don't die, they multiply.
Hey, good to talk to you, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you. Bye-bye. And that's Perry Farrell from the Detroit Free Press talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
When Mitt Romney spoke at CPAC in 2011, he used the word conservatism once. This year?
I know conservatism because I have lived conservatism.
Two dozen mentions for conservative and conservatism. I'm Neil Conan, Ken Rudin, and Dan Baltz on Romney's evolution, plus Paul protests that the main caucuses were stolen. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. It'll be mostly cloudy today, the high in the upper 30s. Look for rain tonight and a low of 35. Rain until midday Thursday, then a chance of rain and snow in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high 39. Partly sunny and a high of 39 on Friday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. Now, if you want a chance to win tickets to tomorrow night's basketball game, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, and register for your chance to win basketball tickets to tomorrow night's game right here on AM 870. And if you want to win tickets to MSU hockey, give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517. Register to win hockey tickets. We'll have tickets to give away for Friday and Saturday night's games, and we'll give those away tomorrow right here on WKAR. So just call us up for your chance to win tickets. Give us a call right here, right now. And we also want to tell you, we're going to hear a little bit in a few minutes from Susie Merchant, and we'll also hear from Tom Izzo on the upcoming game. So we've got a lot of things to talk about with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, you heard from Perry as he talked about Ben Wallace, who set a record for the most games played by an undrafted player. Avery Johnson held it. And Ben Wallace broke the record now. So that's quite an achievement for a player who wasn't even drafted. But in the NBA, you do have a few players drafted, and some of them do last a long, long time. So hats off to Ben Wallace, and he's had a great career. Been a very instrumental in the Pistons winning that title game a few years back in 2004. But he's been a tremendous player over the years. Hey, give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, coming up a little later, we'll talk with Larry Lage from the Associated Press right here on WKAR. So we've got a lot of things to talk with you today. And so just give us a call. Talk sports with us. But more importantly, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know, you can enjoy sports every single day right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, I want to tell you, I had a chance to talk with Susie Merchant and Coach Izzo a couple of days ago, and we want to hear from Susie Merchant. I asked Susie, sometime the team doesn't shoot that well, and I asked her, she didn't quantify it the way I said is they have a shooting slump from time to time. They just sometime in a game they might go for 4 or 5 minutes where they just can't throw it in the ocean. She said, I said, how do you deal with that occasional shooting slumps, and this is what how Susie answered it.
You know, I didn't feel like we were in a shooting slump. I just felt like, you know, we were, you know, that was the first time I felt like we were missing some chippies in a while. I think earlier when we were in that stretch, we were struggling. We were shooting in the 20 percentile. I mean, down there we were, you know, I don't think we were in that position. I think we set the tone at Iowa. Their idea of being aggressive was shooting 18 threes in the first half, and that's not what we wanted, you know, so we had to tone that down a little bit. And I think, you know, that kind of carried over into some of the opportunities where, you know, our mindset was we weren't making them. You know, if you shoot that many and, you know, you're not hitting them, obviously I feel like it carries over into every position, including the post position. So, you know, and we had opportunities at north and south drive. So I thought that set the tone in a obviously not a good way. Was that, you know, we were shooting the three ball way too quickly and way too early in shot clocks. And we needed to be aggressive, but that wasn't the, you know, the concept.
And that's what happens sometime. You might think that a team is shooting aggressively or you know, there are always reasons. Like you say, they shoot too fast sometime. Too many players shoot fast. Shooting in an up-tempo game sometime, they may take too much time. It's always a reason or some reason. Coaches can put their, you know, their fingers on it on why their team is not performing as well as they should. Well, we also had a chance to talk with Coach Izzo about the upcoming game tomorrow night against Wisconsin, and this is what Tom had to say.
They're playing their best basketball right now. You know, I think they've won 5 out of 6. I mean, Jordan has been a different guy. He's, last three games, he's averaging like 23 points a game. And with the big 27, I think it was at Minnesota. But he's looking more like the guy that, you know, we all predicted this year. For some reason, he got off to a little bit of a slow start. But like Draymond Green, I think he is one of the better players in the conference. In fact, Draymond getting his third Player of the Week award is big. And you look at the stats that just came out, and Draymond's in the top 10 in so many areas and ranked in so many areas. I told him before the last game, because I didn't know how he would shoot, and I didn't know what kind of pressure he'd be under, and I said, remember, you can impact the game in a lot of different ways, and as I told you after, he impacted it with the day before practice, the day of practice, but he impacted it by, even defensively, he knew so many things. He took away on film some things that probably wouldn't be seen, a couple lobs that they would have gotten on us, but he kind of got off his man to stop him, and he did just what I said. He didn't shoot great, but he won the game in so many other areas. I think that's what Jordan does for Wisconsin. Sometimes he can be a passer. I thought early in the season he was almost passing up shots, but now he seems to have a perfect balance of when to shoot and when to pass, and he's taking over games like we're all used to seeing him. And if you look again at those Big Ten stats, it's Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Ohio State. In all categories, they're 1, 2, and 3 in many of them, and that's probably why we're all in the position we're in as we wind down the season here.
As we say, the Big Ten is a very tough conference, and Wisconsin is one of the tougher teams in the conference. They've won 7 out of their last 8 games. So that's going to be a very tough game tomorrow night between Michigan State and Wisconsin. Hopefully, none of you are taking Michigan State. They're not taking them for granted. Hopefully, you're not taking them for granted either. That's going to be a very tough game. Wisconsin, as always, year in and year out, they're a very good team, and it's no different this year. This another tough game for Michigan State. Well, we also had a chance to talk with Tom Izzo. I asked him about the Wisconsin defense. You know, is it a little bit different especially since they've been on this winning streak, winning 7 of the last 8 games? How are they defensively?
You know, I don't think defensively. I think they've always been good. I thought their offense was down a little bit, and a lot of it was Jordan early. You know, I think defensively they've been solid since Bo has come there. And so I think where the improvement is a little better offensively. And then I really didn't look at it, but I'd be willing to bet some of it, like all of us, is the schedule. You know, you can get screwed up on where you play early and, you know, who plays when and how late, you know, what's the back end of your schedule like compared to the front end, or what's the middle like? It's just such a difference now in the Big Ten than it used to be. So I'm sure somewhere, some of that, either they might have had more home games, or they, you know, they had a, you know, some a big road win at Illinois, and that's what you got to do at this time of year. You got to surprise somebody, and then that keeps your streak going. You feel better about yourself, and you play better than maybe you even had been playing.
And that's Coach Izzo talking about the Wisconsin team. And also, I wanted to have not brought up Jeremy Lin yet all this time. So put your headset on there, Jacob. I want to get your opinion. What do you think of Jeremy Lin? I just think he's a good player and he's doing well. I think he basically turns it over too much, but he's a very good player. So, but what's your opinion? So all this Lin mania going on.
Well, you're right. He does turn it over too much. I was looking at the stat line from last night, and he had a double-double because I think he had 12 assists, but he almost had a triple-double with he had 8 turnovers last night. So, yeah, he does turn it over too much. You know, it's people are comparing it to Tebow mania and all this stuff. I guess it's comparable in so much that they're both really good clutch players, but you know, I like the Jeremy Lin story because it's a guy who came from Harvard, and you know, rarely do you get any notable basketball talent coming from Harvard. It's a guy who was almost cut, and it's a typical underdog story. It's the kind of story that I think Tebow almost wants to have. Like, Tebow always plays it up like, oh, no one ever gave me a chance and all this stuff, which is, you know, I mean, everyone loved Tebow in college. That was nothing new. This kid came out of nowhere. He's playing great. He's had 20 points or more in the last, you know, some odd games, 5 or 6. I like the story. I think it's a fun story. The question is, you know, when will it, you know, phase? It's going to be one bad game, and all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, the Lin mania will be over. But, you know, it's fun while it lasts, I suppose. And the other thing of last night's game was it was very, I mean, he was ice cold blood in his veins because he shot, that was his 87-87 tie, and he just fires up a 3. I mean, most guys would go to the basket, try to draw a foul, get a 2. You don't need a 3 at all. And he just, you know, without even blinking, just fires it up. So that was very impressive.
Do you think that the Knicks will have the patience to let him play through all these turnovers he keeps having? He has 7-8 turnovers almost every game. You know, that's bad for a point guard. You know, point guard should be 2-1, and he's had way too many turnovers. But do you think the Knicks will be willing to wait for him or for that to play through it and to play out? How do you see that turning out?
If you keep winning games, I don't think, you know, if you turn the ball, obviously you don't want to turn the ball over 8 times as a single player. I mean, in the NBA, you want to limit your turnovers, and really any team, to, you know, 12 or 13 at the max as a team. You got one guy, you know, turning it over 8 times. That's a huge problem. But if he keeps winning games, you know, that's the whole point of it, right?
Yeah.
But the second they start losing games, you know, and he has an off night where he maybe has 10 points, you know, a low assist total and 8 turnovers or 7 turnovers, you're going to hear a lot of complaints from people about that, and obviously the coaching staff is going to get frustrated with that. Something he obviously needs to work on. But, you know, as long as he keeps winning.
Yeah, that's number one. Yeah, you got to keep winning in New York. They're really star for a winner there. So, yeah, if he keeps winning, he's probably got a job. But I guess I'm sort of wondering when he starts having those bad games, and it's inevitable, he will have some bad games. How patient will the Knicks be?
Probably not very patient. I mean, I think it's probably easier to be patient with a guy who's proven himself, who's, you know, a known veteran point guard who you know is going to bounce back from a slump. I think there will be impatience just because this is a new experiment, the Jeremy Lin project here, and we don't know how he'll bounce back from a slump. You know, he might go into a slump and never come back out. This might just be his 8-game stretch of playing great, and it might never happen again. So there will certainly be impatience. And, you know, New York fans are obviously impatient. So the fan base says they will have no tolerance for that, and it'll be impatient.
Well, we'll just have to watch and see and how it goes. And because Lin is right, like you say, he is a phenomenon right now, and he's bringing a lot of joy to the fans, to the faces of the fans of the New York Knicks. So he's been a darling to them. So now let's see if he can keep it going on, that's for sure. Hey, Jacob, what do you think about the game tomorrow night between Michigan State and Wisconsin? It's going to be a tough game, no secret there. How do you think that's going to play out?
This might be one of the games where it's like first to 60 wins. It's going to be, I think, a really big defensive battle. It's a huge game in terms of standings. Wisconsin is 8-4 in conference. Michigan State 9-3. So there's all these teams that are kind of jumbled in the 3-loss, 4-loss category. So it's a vitally important game for both teams. Wisconsin obviously would love a big road win over a team that's in the top tier here, and I think it's going to be a big defensive battle. I think it's going to be a very close game. I probably say Michigan State wins because of home court. That helps, but it's going to be a tough one. It's in a very important Big Ten game.
Okay, well, here's the toughie for you.
Like toughies.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. Of Michigan State's last games, I'm saying they'll probably lose to Indiana. That's the one game. And the other game, I think they might lose to. And I think you probably will disagree with me. I think they might lose to Ohio State, because I can't imagine Ohio State playing worse than they did in that first game. I can't see them playing it's that bad again.
Yeah, I actually, you're going to be surprised. I actually kind of agree with you on that. I think, the at Indiana is a tough game. You know, they should clean up at Purdue and at Minnesota.
Yes.
I mean, obviously those are, you don't take anybody lightly in the Big Ten, but in terms of road victories, those are games you should win. Nebraska at home should be a blowout. Indiana on the road will be tough. Ohio State, like you've said, it's very tough for a team to win, to beat a team twice in a season when you play home and away like that. But Michigan State's in a really good situation where they won the road game. I think that Ohio State is a very good team. They just had a bad night. I think we're going to see if Ohio State can get it back together. If Ohio State wins, they have a big road game against Michigan this weekend. If they put it together, win on the road against Michigan, and they kind of show, okay, we're still around, we're still for real, then I think that they could come into the Breslin and beat them. If not, if they show that maybe they've got some problems internally we don't know about, it could be another Michigan State win. They could sweep the Buckeyes.
Well, I got to tell you, I root for the underdogs. A lot of people root for the underdogs. But there's one underdog in the Big Ten I'm really hoping gets into the NCAA tournament. And that, of course, is Northwestern, who've never been in there. What do you think? What's Northwestern's chances this year?
Well, Northwestern's got, the Big Ten, it helps that the Big Ten's tough, because when the Big Ten is tough and when you've got any pretty much bracket predictors saying 8 teams from the conference in right now, that would put, just looking standings up, the standings up and down, you got Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, and Illinois would get in if you get 8 teams. So they would get in. They're at 5-7 in the conference and 15-9 overall. General rule of thumb is you have to win around 18 games to get in, but this is a little bit of more of an expanded field this year, so you, in a tough conference, may be able to get away with it. I think if they can finish up strong and they can, not lose a bunch down the stretch, I think they got a pretty good shot.
Yeah, because we know that a lot of the other conferences aren't that strong this year. So the Big Ten might get 8 teams. I think what last year was the Big East got like 12 of their teams in last year, something like that. Yes, and they're talking about this could be the year for the Big Ten, so maybe my Cats got a shot.
Maybe. They do play Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana, 3 of those games down the stretch. Ooh. So not an easy schedule.
No, that's not. Oh, that's a toughie. If they can win any of those that would go a long way if they can win any of those games.
Absolutely.
Well, the time, 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
When a patient's depressed, it can be a struggle to come up with the right words to tell a doctor or a nurse what's wrong. Add in a language barrier, and even more can get lost in translation. I'm Neil Conan, adapting therapy to help patients from varied cultural backgrounds. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our weather forecast is calling for a high of 38 degrees and mostly cloudy skies today. Tonight, look for rain with a low of 35. Rain until midday Thursday, then a chance of rain and snow together in the afternoon, the high tomorrow 39. 39 the high again on Friday, and partly sunny. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk at MSUBasketball.org. We'll be giving away tickets to MSU basketball near the end of today's show, so give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000. Still time for you to register for your chance to win tickets to the game coming up. That's 353-5000, area code 517. And give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So just call us up and talk sports, and we're glad to be with you, talk with anything that you'd like to talk about right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. But more importantly, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. And we're going to hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with Larry Lage here on Sports Talk 870 and be able to give him a call and talk with him about what's going on in the sports world from the Larry. I know Larry was at the Red Wings game last night, of course, the game they set the record on. So we'll just see if we can, hopefully, we can get in touch with Larry and talk with him about the game last night, the sellout, and the Red Wings setting the new record, 21 straight for the Red Wings, beating that the record that was set in 1929-1930, and then matched by the 76 in the 76ers or the Philadelphia team in 1976. So that's been Quite a feat for the Red Wings, that's for sure. But you can give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And you can also spread the word around. You know, we need you to tell everyone you know you can hear sports each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, you can also check us out on the Facebook page. You can check us out there. You can check us out online. Our signal, we have you there. You can on the computer, you can check us out there. So it's a lot of ways for you to keep in touch with us. Right now, let's chat out with Jeff and Hazlitt. Jeff, how you doing?
Hi, Earl. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Hey, I'm just kind of thinking baseball for some reason, and wondering what you who do you think will ultimately play third base for the Tigers? I don't blame Brandon for being a little upset about possibly losing the position, but what do you think?
Well, I think they'll give. They're going to give. The big guy a chance.
Cabrera.
Yeah, Cabrera a chance to win it. Of course, he's their first option. They want to have that big bat there, and if it doesn't work out, then you'll probably see Inge at third base regularly. But right now, going into training camp, it's not his job. I mean, he might be ticked off at them, but they're not going to give it to him easily. So he's going to really have to earn it.
And, I don't know that he's ticked off. I heard that from a broadcaster, not so local, I guess. But, and I don't know that, how ticked off. I mean, you always play your best, play for the best chances to win the game. But third base used to be a position where you needed a good hitter.
Yes.
And
you still need one.
Yeah, you do. But he's had some clutch hitters. His average has been down, but seems like he's the kind of kid that's in the past hitting the clutch a few times. And I don't know. I'm kind of pulled for him, even though he's making a ton of money and he's shouldn't be complaining and all that sort of thing. If indeed he is, I don't know, but. Cabrera's so big, I just wonder how quick he could be at that position in terms of a defensive liability.
Yeah, I think we all wondering that because he hasn't played it in over 5 years. He came up as a third baseman, and he was a little bit slimmer, then a little bit lighter, and a little bit more agile and quicker on his feet. But when you haven't played a position in over 5 years and you've put on a few pounds, everyone's questioning that. And so I think he can still play it. How well can he play it? Boy, that's the magic number.
We'll see, I guess.
Yes, we will.
All right, Earl. Thanks,
okay,
man.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And, that's the thing. Because he can play it. I mean, he grew up playing. That's all he used to play. So he can still play third base, but there's no way to tell how good he can play third base. How good can he make that adjustment? Will he be quick and agile enough to make just the ordinary plays? We're not even talking about tough plays or anything like that. You know, he's just got to be able to make the regular plays. So that's going to be it's definitely going to be interesting to see how he's able to handle that. That's for sure. So give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And let's bring in our good friend Larry Lage and talk with him and talk with Larry about what he saw last night with the Detroit Red Wings. Hey, Larry, how you doing, buddy?
I'm living the dream, Earl. How are you?
Okay. Well, yeah, you're getting to see all these good games and these good teams, and you got a chance to see a record broken in the NHL last night. That had to be awful special.
It was a really neat night, you know, and some people want to downplay it because back in the day, even, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, they didn't have a shootout, which has given the Red Wings an opportunity to extend the streak by three games with shootout victories. And yet I think the real apples-to-apples comparison is since the shootout was born out of the lockout in the 2005-06 season, the previous best streak at home is 14. So the Red Wings have had 50% longer of a streak than the previous record. So that's awfully impressive. And, of course, in the record books, the Bruins in 29-30 and the Flyers in 75-76, 120 straight, you know, they didn't have the benefit of the shootout. But you could argue that the league is much deeper and talented, and there are just no gimmies on the schedule. And it's awfully impressive. You know, and it's really given the Red Wings and their fans something to get fired up about the dog days of the season when the players quietly and the fans probably a little bit louder are just waiting for the playoffs.
Yes, and of course the other record you couldn't see, but it's a different one, and people probably won't even recognize it that much. But as you know, Ben Wallace set a record for the most games played by an undrafted player, and that has to be really a good achievement for Ben and in basketball, because, you know, how many players, and there haven't been any, play as many games as Ben has played as an undrafted player.
Yeah, it's awfully impressive. Noah Trister, my colleague, was there in Auburn Hills last night to chronicle that, Mark. And, you know, happy for Ben. He's a good guy who has fought and scrapped for everything he's gotten, and he says this is it. So that was his last tussle with Tim Duncan. And, you know, anybody that peeked in on that game saw how much passion Ben Wallace still has for the game, and you've got to give him credit for that.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, well, let's talk about those Pistons. Why? I mean, not the Pistons, but the Red Wings. Why are the Red Wings so good this year? I think beginning of the year, didn't we all think, at least some of us thought, that the Red Wings would be okay this year, but probably wouldn't be as good. They got a little long in the tooth, but, boy, they're surprising everyone.
Yeah, I think most people, including the Red Wings coaching staff, thought they'd be good, not great. They've been great because they have unbelievable depth. From their first line to their fourth line, they've got guys producing. All of their defensive pairings are playing well. And when Jimmy Howard goes down with an injury, you know, you've got your third stringer, Joey McDonald, who is talented enough to step up and play well as he has done lately. And really, the biggest factor has been their goals against. Last year, their goals against was high. They were kind of in the middle of the pack in the league in terms of giving up goals, and this year they're among the best. And, you know, defense wins championships and wins games, you know, probably the best, most accurate cliche in sports, and, you know, that's the biggest reason. And, you know, quietly they might have the best player in the world. Pavel Datsyuk is just a treat to watch every night. You know, I'm lucky enough to get paid to sit in seats you can't buy and watch some of the best athletes on the planet. And without a doubt, Pavel Datsyuk is at the top of that list of talented players that I've ever seen up close on a regular basis. You know, I would put him up there with Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson just in terms of being unbelievably talented.
You know, we see teams all the time having a difficult transition when they get older and they have a transition, difficult time transitioning to a younger team bringing in younger talent. Do you think the Wings are going to maybe avoid that transition? They've been considered a veteran team for a long time, but do you see enough young guys in the pipelines where this might not be a very difficult transition for them?
Yeah, they're making this transition because they have been bringing up their younger players that they've developed. A couple names that people would know there, Justin Abdelkader and Drew Miller, both, you know, guys in their late 20s, perhaps, without looking at their date of birth on the roster. Corey Emerton is a rookie who has gotten a chance to play and is making the most of his opportunity. He put a player on his back last night with the Stars behind the net that was probably the hit of the night. So, you know, and Jimmy Howard, he has stepped up, you know, and he's in his 20s. So, you know, while they've got 41-year-old Nick Lidstrom and Tomas Holmstrom, who's played 1,000 games, you know, and some Todd Bertuzzi and some guys like that, they really have a core of players that are in their late 20s to early 30s that are producing, that have kind of, smashed the myth of the Red Wings being an old, washed-up team. And it's really impressive when you consider what this team has done going back to the mid-90s to now. You can make an argument that they've been the most successful and consistently successful franchise in sports. And a lot of it, comes from the top. Mike Ilitch wants to win. He hires good people, namely Ken Holland, to run the show, and he spends the money to get out of the way. And yet, after the lockout, they had to cut about half their salary to get under the new salary cap. And, you know, they did that without, much of a bump in the road. And yet, the NHL is so competitive, that they could have this great season and then, you know, run into a hot goalie in the in the playoffs, and everybody would be like, what's wrong with the Red Wings? So, but for now, they certainly have a lot to enjoy and celebrate here. And, they're on a home stand here that actually gives them another chance to break another mark. The Boston Bruins, 8-plus decades ago, actually won 22 straight over two seasons at the end of the 29 season and the first couple in the 30-31 season. So if they can beat Nashville on Friday night and San Jose on Sunday night, that would give them another, milestone to be proud of. They're not going to put another banner in the rafters to recognize this feat, but nonetheless, it's pretty impressive. You know, the team is really just focused on getting points and keeping their spot in the standings because as well as they're playing, they're barely ahead of the Rangers for the best record in the whole NHL, and the Rangers have a few games in hand, and Vancouver's kind of nipping at their heels in the Western Conference. And St. Louis Blues, probably the surprise team in the league, is right there in the Central Division. So they're certainly not in coast mode, despite winning 21 straight games at home.
Oh, it is very impressive. Hey, Larry, I just had a question a few minutes ago. A caller wanted to know, how good can Miguel Cabrera play third base? How do you think that he's going to make in that transition?
It'll be interesting. I've seen some reports and tweets that he's lost a lot of weight, which would give him some more mobility. I think he has some decent instincts defensively. At first base, I thought he had pretty good hands and decent feet. And if he kind of locks into that position and takes some pride in it, I don't think he'll be a liability. And yet it'll be a pretty interesting left side of the field, infield, because Johnny Peralta, doesn't have the most range. So it'll be interesting to see how much teams test Miguel Cabrera, perhaps, making him charge in on a bunt and that type of thing. But, if the reports are true that he's lost a bunch of weight, and when pitchers and catchers report, if he's there, working on his third base skills, coming up next week, believe it or not, certainly a lot of time for baseball players to hone their craft. And if he wants to do it, I think he's got the athletic ability to at least be average. And if he's average defensively, he's certainly an asset because at the plate, he's about as good as they get.
Yes, that's for sure. And of course, Ainge, we know Ainge, he's got to be a little unhappy of them making that move. But, hey, when you hit as weak as Ainge does, you really don't have anything to say, do you?
No, you don't. And, because Ainge is such an incredible athlete, I could see him becoming a true utility player that you could put at third or second or left field or maybe even in a pinch shortstop, which I believe he played at Virginia Commonwealth. That may be, something to watch as well. But you're right. When you're hitting 220, your defensive liabilities or defensive assets can only take you so far. He's been working hard physically this offseason, working with former Michigan football strength and conditioning coach Mike Barless
who has his own gym in suburban Detroit. So we'll see if that translates at all to helping him at the plate, because he certainly needs the help. And we've seen it in spots where he has been decent at the plate, but it's been a while. So, he's got a lot of work cut out for him.
Okay. Hey, you're going to be here for tomorrow night's game between Michigan State and Wisconsin?
I would not miss it. Looking forward to that game. It should be a big one. And, Michigan State controls its destiny here in the Big Ten title race, especially with Ohio State coming here for the regular season finale. But not to look too far ahead, that should be a good one Thursday night. And I'll be in my usual spot, baseline next to the Michigan State tunnel, and looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, Larry, it's always good talking to you, my friend, and I will see you tomorrow night.
All right, Earl.
Okay, thanks a lot. Yep, bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that's Larry Lage from the Associated Press, the editor from the Associated Press. Well, Jacob, do you have us a couple of winners over there? We've got two pair of tickets to give away for Michigan State and Wisconsin tomorrow night. So tell us about the winners.
All right, our winners, there are two of them for the tickets for tomorrow night. Winner number one is Steven from DeWitt. And winner number two is Janet from Jackson.
Well, congratulations to Janet and Stephen, and Jacob will call you right after the show ends and tell you where you can pick the tickets up at, so you'll hear from them. But I want to thank you all for calling in and giving us a chance. And remember, you can call, keep calling, because tomorrow we're going to give away tickets to MSU hockey. Boy, I was there last Friday night, Jacob, for that Michigan State win over Michigan, and it was a sold-out house, a full house. And so we're going to have two pair to give away, a pair for Friday night's game and Saturday night's game for Alaska Anchorage and tickets. And hockey is picking up again here at Michigan State. It's great. It was really big back in the 70s and 80s. It was used to be sold out all the time, but it's starting to get that feel, and that people are starting to come back, which is really great. It's nice to see Michigan State hockey making a comeback.
Hockey games are a lot of fun. I think people always kind of forget about them. They think football and basketball, but really, hockey games here at Michigan State, and really any hockey game, any of the colleges in the state, are really fun games to go to. And if you ever get an opportunity to go, I mean, it's definitely worth it.
It is, and we encourage people to go out and support Michigan State hockey. It's a good game. It's fun. The good kids that they're playing, they play so hard. They do so. It's well worth it for you to go and just buy a ticket. If you don't win one, go out and buy a ticket and go over to Michigan State hockey. So, yeah, they can do that. So hopefully, Jacob, we can talk a few of them to going over there and seeing Michigan State hockey. Maybe buy. I'm quite sure there might be a few tickets available for Friday and Saturday night's game.
Yeah, it's usually pretty easy. You walk up to the door, you can usually buy them. I know student tickets, I believe, are only a few bucks if you go with a student ticket holder. And the student section at hockey games has grown just exponentially in the last couple of years. So it's a lot of fun, especially if you're a student. A lot of fun to go to those games.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, you can also remember, there's a lot of good high school basketball. I was at one game last night, Eaton Rapids and Lansing Catholic Central. Lansing Catholic down Eaton Rapids. Lansing Catholic's going to... They could be a little trouble in the playoffs, but of course they'll have to go up against Lansing Sexton, and that's the team that everyone thinks they're going to repeat to winning that state championship. So we'll see when the playoffs start in a few weeks, but that's a good team, and Lansing Catholic's a good team. There are a lot of good teams in the area. I was talking with some people last night and even today on how. They need to change the system. I don't know if they will ever change the system, but I guess they're talking about that maybe. But there could be, some changes in the system coming up, but we'll just have to wait and see. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us again tomorrow right here on AM 870. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And if you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports right with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.